This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Pomp rejoins the fray tomorrow. I'm on cloud nine today because my Golden State Warriors are up 3-1. And I stayed up very late watching that. Limits, I might add.
Did you know that the Warriors are my favorite NBA team to follow? Them and the Charlotte Hornets.
You think you would have mentioned that by now since I talk about it all the time? No, I didn't know that.
Steph Curry is my favorite NBA player. Steph and Dwayne Wade are my two favorites. Plus Larry Bird, if we're going to date it. But me growing up, who do I watch? Dwayne Wade and Steph were my two favorites.
Those are two good
and
ones.
And Kobe.
Three great ones.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Steelers and future Steelers in the NFL draft. And here to do that, Mr. Charlie Campbell from Walter Football. He's been one of the most, if not the most accurate mock drafters in the entire country. He had Derek Harmon go into the Steelers to add to his resume. Charlie, you joined us last week. Everybody loved it. Welcome back. And how did you grade out the Steelers draft? What did you like best and worst about the Steelers picks?
Well, you know, I think they really had just a solid draft with good picks at each round in terms of value. I didn't feel like they were taking guys that were bad reaches at any spot. So I don't think they swung for the fences, rolling the dice, going for the boom or bust guys. I think they were just really steady, hitting line drives in the gap. One round after another.
So yeah.
I think they just got a bunch of solid football players that are going to be able to strengthen their team on both sides of the ball.
You had them picking Caleb Johnson for a long time in your mocks, and one of the comparisons that some people made was to Najee Harris. Do you see any similarities there? What type of back are the Steelers getting?
Yeah, I can kind of see some of that in terms of he's a big back with speed and you just the skill set really stands out. The one I think he's definitely has an early round skill set, and other teams felt that way too. I think the reason why he slid to the third round was from talking, you know, with other team sources, where some maturity concerns hurt him a little bit. And then I think the other thing as a player that hurt him a little bit was just a little lack of physicality as a runner. He's really big, but he doesn't always run up to his size at the second level. You'd like to see him run a little angrier, a little more violently, and really use that size to punish defensive backs and push through, pick up more yards after contact. But I think that's something that can develop in the NFL. But he was a real workhorse at Iowa, tremendous ball security, didn't have a fumble last season, over 20 touchdowns. He's a real asset in the goal line and short yardage game. So I just think they got a really good, solid starter there in the third round. Once he gets accustomed to the playbook, and pass protection, you know, those kinds of things that we all kind of take for granted, but are vitally important for a rookie running back. So, you know, if he picks that stuff up, I think he'll be starting pretty quickly.
That's the first I've heard any mention of maturity concerns with him, Charlie. What do you mean by that? What have you heard?
That's just what some of the area scouts who came through Iowa told me with him. They said that skill set wise, he has like a first, second round skill set, like, you know, late one, early two caliber talent, similar to like Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, who went, you know, early in the second round, and Travion Henderson as well. Talent wise, he's on a par with those guys. And no one would have batted an eye if they had been taken late in the first round, because they're worthy of that with their physical skill set. But the maturity concerns, I think, were something that factored in as to why Caleb slipped to the third round. And that's just what area scouts said, that just he's going to they felt he's just going to need to grow up some more, become more mature professional at the NFL level. And some guys, it takes a little time to do that, and the NFL stands for not for long. So you don't have, you know, there's a limited number of years and patience involved, and the lower you go in the draft, there's less of it. So I just think he's going to need to kind of circle the wagons there and really embrace his pro career, work hard, study that playbook, to really play up to his potential, because his potential is definitely there. He's got a great skill set and upside.
Were you surprised that Will Howard was available in the sixth round? And do you think that Howard can be anything more than a backup quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I do. I was surprised he was there in the sixth. I thought he would go in the fourth or fifth round. You know, the way these quarterbacks came off the board overall was pretty shocking, after Cam Ward. So, you know, I guess it fit with the draft. As far as being more than a backup, that's a tough call. I think he has everything you want in a quarterback, except I just question whether the arm talent is special enough for him to be a good pro starter in the NFL. We've seen guys overcome it, and you know, kind of, and the arm talent really came along later, you know, late blooming kind of players. We've seen that happen with guys before, but Howard has great intangibles, great kid, great leader, very smart, works hard, loves football, good size, is a willing, tough runner as well. So everything is there. It's just will the arm be enough? And I think that he's just going to, you know, have to prove that in his preseason games and in practice, and then be ready when the opportunity calls.
Charlie Campbell from Walter Football is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's 11:20. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Charlie, in your opinion, how many quarterbacks from this draft will be good NFL starters, and who are they?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, I'm going to say zero to be perfectly honest. Yeah, I was a skeptic of Cam Ward in terms of player. I think he basically is kind of similar to what Russell Wilson is right now, and what Russell Wilson was that last year in Denver and last season in Pittsburgh. I think that's the kind of starting quarterback Cam Ward will be. Was not a believer in Jackson Dart. I like Shador Sanders in terms of an accuracy and toughness standpoint, but I have doubts about Cleveland and the amount of dysfunction that comes with that organization, and whether that can be corralled and brought into a, you know, look at what all the guys that they've gone through there. I think there's something to that with the Haslams and the ownership that runs that team. So I have doubts about the ability for anyone to really be successful in that situation there. So I'm not sure. It wouldn't surprise me if this draft quarterback wise just kind of proves like the 22 class, with Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis, maybe will emerge out of a backup status to be a starter somewhere else. He certainly flashed a little bit as a backup last year in Green Bay, but really you don't see anything from that class. And I wouldn't be surprised if this year is on a par.
Limits, last night, Donnie Football had a very good guest on, and I was texting him to ask about Jackson Dart, and Donnie refused to do it, only texting back, "He stinks."
Nice.
With 3 exclamation points. Charlie, I'm a big Jackson Dart guy, and not just me. I thought the draft took a very dramatic turn when the Giants jumped back in 4 picks after the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger likes Jackson Dart. Jack Ham loves Jackson Dart. Dan Orlovsky loves Dart. Praise the Giants. Ryan Clark studied quarterbacks for a living when he played in the NFL. He thought the Giants knocked it out of the park in the first round, and Kirk Street, who watches a lot of football, also a big fan of Dart. I realize probably, however, that most people are on your side when it comes to Dart. Why don't you like him? Why don't you project him as a good NFL starter?
Well, I feel that he, skill set wise, he's above average but not special. I don't see an elite arm or an elite running ability. I think that he has problems under pressure, and the meltdown performance against Florida when they had everything on the line to get into the college football playoff, and he kept throwing the ball to the Gators instead of his receivers, I think was a very alarming game. And it's not like Florida is the 2008 Gators or anything. This is a rebuilding team. So that was very alarming to me. I do think he has some gunslinger in him that's kind of similar to other quarterbacks I've seen coming out of the SEC, like a Drew Locke. And I think that there was a lot more turnover worthy throws and decisions that showed up on the stat sheet. And I do think that system under Lane Kiffin has produced a lot of guys that can get these numbers, like a Matt Corral, but it doesn't necessarily translate to them for them at the pro level. So I'm a skeptic. I do think he was a worthy day two guy, just given what he has physically and what he did in college. But I just didn't feel a first round pick justification with Dart.
I would only add that his passes to the Florida players were very accurate, I thought, Charlie. Drew Locke and Matt Corral, are those your comparables for me in the NFL? Can you at least give me Andy Dalton?
The other one I had team sources tell me with him was Gardner Minshew.
So, oh, dear God. Well, maybe he'll grow a mustache at some point.
Joe, maybe you should join our side now. There's some room over here to jump off the Dart bandwagon. Charlie on it.
I'm driving. As much as I like Charlie, I'm driving this thing. All right. Well, that's depressing. Limits, would you like to jump in?
Yes. Charlie, what do you think happened with Shedeur Sanders? What did you hear about his slide, the pre-draft process? A lot of people talked about how he might have bombed some interviews and just the way that he went about his business going up to the draft, and Deion kind of saying like he won't play for certain teams, kind of screwed up this process. Is that what you heard, or is there something we're missing?
Yeah, that definitely factored into the slide, because in talking with team people, the slide was kind of comprised of two parts. Part A, no team fell in love with him enough to take him high to be their starter. Just skill set wise, he didn't have you know, Lamar Jackson running ability, doesn't have a Josh Allen type arm. You know, there isn't the Pat Mahomes ad lib ability. So, you know, to escape pressure, he took a lot of sacks. So, you know, the first of all, that kind of led to no team envisioning him and falling in love with him enough as a player to take him in round one. Then when you get to day two and you're getting into the portion of the draft where players have backup grades. So, you know, typically the players third round, they're really third, fourth round. They've been graded as backups for the NFL, not future starters. And NFL teams don't want a lot of, you know, distraction or drama or, you know, quarterback controversy coming from their backup quarterback. It's just not good for the locker room and the focus of the organization. So then, you know, that starts getting factored against Shador because just like the Tim Tebow effect, all the attention that Tebow would bring to the backup quarterback spot is just a distraction. You know, when the player isn't even on with for a player that isn't even on the field. So the two kind of merge together to really cause that slide. And I think that, you know, it is kind of a learning lesson for other quarterbacks out there. And you know, Shador Sanders is not alone. There are a lot of these quarterbacks have the helicopter dad who's overly opinionated and calling coaches and GMs and, you know, complaining about this and that. And so, you know, it's a learning lesson for those guys to dial it back. And not end up hurting their sons by, you know, the kind of threats of criticism. And, you know, Deion's obviously a special case because of the media attention he gets. But teams don't want their, you know, have to deal with problems because Deion is complaining that his son should be starting over their starter or, you know, blaming receivers or the offensive line when his son didn't play well or something like that. So that kind of thing definitely hurt Shador.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The key line there being overly opinionated. I like that. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Charlie Campbell, you can read him at walterfootball.com. As you can hear, very detailed, very good at what he does. And I'll leave you with this topic here. Charlie, you know, we could talk all day about, you know, rearranging the deck chairs around here. The Steelers need a franchise quarterback. And realizing that everything can change in 1 year of college football, we could ask Joe Burrow or Kenny Pickett about that. How many quarterbacks right now could you envision going in the top 10 next year? And how would you order those guys? Because this sure seems like it's lining up with the draft in Pittsburgh. And with the Steelers gathering resources, that they are going to throw everything, pun intended, into getting their franchise guy next year. How many quarterbacks do you see going in the top 10, and how would you order them?
Oh, man, I mean, that's tough to say this far out. I would say I think immediately three kind of stand out to me. as having that potential, you know, as prospects like Arch Manning at Texas, Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. I think Lenoris Sellers from South Carolina is a really interesting quarterback to watch in terms of dual threat guy. Drew Aller from Penn State, I think, showed progress late last season. So I think he has the potential to continue to rise. So those four kind of jump out to me. And that's also a good sign because you'll have guys, you know, rise up and, you know, no, a year ago, no one was talking about Cam Ward going number one overall. So a year later, that's what happens. So, you know, there could be a Joe Burrow out there, a guy who's been buried on a depth chart that none of us have seen play at an elite level, and he's going to explode this year. So
you see Aller as that guy, though? Limits over here is a big Penn State guy. Like, if we're talking about how next year is going to be way better than this year's quarterback class, unless Drew Aller takes some major steps forward, he, to me at least, is not evidence of that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think he has potential, but he definitely has to improve. I think he showed progress late in the season in terms of field vision and toughness and things that I think are important qualities for him to keep, you know, building in the right direction. But it's not a done deal. Absolutely. None of those guys are. Arch Manning hasn't played enough yet to say definitively that he's worthy of going high in the first round. You want to see more out of Nussmeier as well. So all these guys have a lot to prove. Sellers has to be more of a consistent, accurate pocket passer. I mean, each one has things that has to
That's why, and I know a year's a long time, I get it, but even looking ahead, it feels to me like some people are looking ahead to this draft like it's going to be Elway and Marino and Jim Kelly. I mean, or Eli, no. Eli and Ben and Phil Rivers. Are we sure that it's going to be significantly better than this quarterback class? Are we sure about that?
No. I mean, I think if I were, I would say I think it's likely to be better than this class, but we can't say that for sure. No way in hell at this point. Absolutely not. I mean, a bunch, you could have one guy blow out an ACL, another guy just struggle. And like Carson Beck a year ago, people thought he would be a high quarterback for this, you know, drafted for this class. And he struggles at Georgia. And now he, you know, hits the portal and takes the money and goes to Miami to play for the Hurricanes. So that could happen with some of these guys. So absolutely, there's no way you can say it's going to be a legendary class this far out. There's so much that has to come together to prove that, you know. I'll believe it when I see it, but I do think it could have some better overall strength and top prospects than this year did. This year was not good, and I think, you know, history has shown that you can have some bounce back years after a weak year at that position.
There you go, Limit. Stick that in your quarterback pipe and smoke it.
Hey, man, I've been pretty strong on that, too. Like, I like Aller, but there's no doubt about it. He had to go back to school for another year to be able to improve his stock, and he does need to get better in the biggest games. I'll admit it, yeah, 1,000%. I've been at a lot of those big games when I flew 1,000 miles to watch him throw a terrible interception against Notre Dame.
Limits, may I engage Charlie in a game of free association?
You may.
Charlie, did you already play this with me last week?
I think I did, yes.
I can see it was memorable. We're going to go short answer to short questions. So a couple words, even one word, if you like. Who's going to be the first quarterback taken next year?
I'll go with Garrett Nussmeier right now.
Wow. Grade the Malachi Starks pick for the Ravens.
A minus.
Grade the trade that the Browns made with Jacksonville at the top of the draft.
For the Browns, I'd give it an A. For the Jags, I'd give it a D.
Wow! The Eagles opened by taking five straight defensive players. Did you love, like, feel okay, or hate that?
Love it.
How about the Chiefs taking the big tackle there near the end of the first round who's been injured? Was that a good pick?
I think it'll be a good pick, yes.
How about the Bengals' first round pick, the edge rusher who never gets a sack?
Yeah, I mean, boom bust, you know, the serious boom bust potential.
Which would you lean toward?
I'm going to lean, if I had to, I'd lean towards bust.
Your favorite Steeler pick beyond Derek Harmon was who?
Jack Sawyer.
I have no further questions. This was great, Charlie. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Absolutely. I'm always around.
See you, man.
Take care.
That guy is an absolute legend, Limits, isn't he? Charlie Campbell.
Yes, and he was giving a wonderful goodbye to me on the phone, said, take care, hope to talk to you soon.
That was incredible. What just happened?
He's really insightful. How about the Caleb Johnson stuff? That
I hadn't heard that.
No, that piqued my interest.
From area scouts, concerns about mature. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
Well, and I would think area scouts have their pulse on it, especially if they're there all the time.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. What else did he say? Next year's draft? Who knows? Garrett Nussmeier? Is he the next John Elway?
Yeah, Nussmeier is definitely one of those top prospects.
Is he related to Paul Nussbaum from our studio here?
Possibly. Just change a couple of letters.
They're both nicknamed Nusser, I bet.
And the one thing that I was curious of is Charlie assuming that Arch Manning is not coming out next year, I guess. Under that assumption, I would think so, if he's putting Nussmeier ahead of Manning.
Wait, did he say that? I didn't hear him say that.
Well, he said who would be the number one prospect.
Yeah, and he didn't say Arch Manning.
No. Like, I would think that at least many believe Arch Manning is going to be the number one prospect
during
next
this
year.
During this brief intermission, can you text him and say, is that what you meant? Because I don't think that is what he meant.